Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
It is Taz and the Moose with you all here on this Tuesday morning as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You've got Ben and Mike across the way. Bogish has got your updates sitting in for Taz here on this Tuesday morning as well as we take you for another hour right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific. Sirius at XM206 app as well. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose. Coming up about 40 minutes from now, we'll talk to the Bird, Ian Eagle, great broadcaster, football, NBA, can do it all. We'll join Bogish and myself, but top of the third and final hour, let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Saints edge the Panthers 12-9 on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Pasegula back in the fold with the three. There you go. Nice job. And it was a 12-9 final. Not one that's going to be, not a game that you're going to send to Canton, Ohio in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But entertaining because for the reason, the simple reason of you've got division rivals, two teams that can't stand one another. You had the stuff between Cam Jordan and Cam Newton. Before the game and the wine and the broom that was sent Newton's way by Jordan after the sweep by the New Orleans Saints a year ago. And Newton thought that was disrespectful. Also talked about the fact he'd have a nice glass of wine if they were able to sweep the Saints this year and have a bottle of wine. We know that's not happening because as we watched that game last night, Bogus, number one hits you. Is Cam Newton can't throw the football. You know, they can tell you all they want, and they have a less than 1% chance of making it to the postseason now. They have lost six in a row. A team that at one point in time was 6-2 is now 6-8 going into week 16. Ron Rivera after the game could say, well, we'll evaluate, and he was questionable going into the game, played last night. He can't throw it. Anyway, you cut it. His shoulder's hurt. Doesn't have the best mechanics to begin with, but we know he's dealing with a hurt shoulder. Newton said after the game they don't even know exactly what's wrong with the shoulder. You might believe that he can't do any more damage. It's about being a competitive quarterback, and right now Newton's not a competitive quarterback. He can't throw.
No, all that being said, I mean, they were in position to win this game and keep themselves very much alive and join Washington and join Philly and join Minnesota all on that 7-win level. But they give up the touchdown early fourth quarter, and then even if they're getting that fumble back on the dumb touchback rule when you fumble through the end zone, they can't even basically cross midfield before time runs out on fourth down, a pass incomplete, and a kneel or two, and the Saints win. So, like, again, six straight, I think the last five of these losses, Moose, have been by a touchdown or less. They're almost there. They've almost figured it out, and they have other issues. But if Cam was Cam, you have to think that they'd find the, you know, the score or two that would tip these games in their favor.
You're right. And if Newton was Newton, that is a more offensive-minded game than what it turned out to be. But there was throws that he just simply missed and throws that he just makes that he didn't make. The other thing that hits you is the New Orleans Saints are not exactly peaking at the right time. And I get what you heard from Breeze and Peyton to a man, the rest of the team. Defense was great. A win's a win. It's tough to win a National Football League. It's Monday night. It's a division rival. It's an arch enemy. All that's true. I'm not going to deny all that. But the Saints are usually a lot more efficient offensively than they are right now. And they're having a hard time finding it to where they were earlier on in the regular season, Bogus. And they've got 2 weeks here to find it going into the postseason because even though they are on pace to have home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs, I think everyone would look at New Orleans with the way that they're playing right now as probably a team that could be had at home. And when New Orleans is peaking and playing brilliant football, that is a house of horrors to go to where you feel like you have no shot to win that game.
I still think you have next to no shot to beat them in their building. But yes, they've opened up the door now to being a little bit vulnerable, just like the Rams have. And maybe it's the Bears, who are the only elite team right now not shuffling their feet late in the regular season. I still can't make them the favorite and think that they can win in New Orleans just yet, but it's certainly more plausible than it was just a couple of weeks ago.
Are you concerned that we've seen the Rams and the Saints struggle here? Or do you think there's still two games left to go in the regular season, chance for them to find it?
The concern certainly is stronger with the Rams. You know, they're new to this. They have not been in this situation before where they're late in the season, they're favorites, they had a chance, and still technically due to get to number one. But, you know, the Cooper Kupp injury seems to be even more impactful than we thought it was going to be. The kind of second and third level talent on that team is not close to what the first
very
level
top
is.
Heavy. And they're, the defense is in a, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, they could certainly, you know, the Panthers almost won last night despite Cam Newton because their defense was fairly fantastic.
Yes.
The Rams need a game like that and haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, and they have not. And you look at, you probably believe New Orleans more so than Los Angeles, because you believe in Breeze more so than you believe in Jared Goff in a big-time spot. And that is fair. There's still time to find it, but both of those teams are going to find it real soon. Let's circle back to Carolina. Here's Luke Kuechly talking about his quarterback, Cam Newton, and his up-and-down season.
Honestly, man, I'm not sure what's going on exactly with the shoulder. You got to ask him. But, you know, with Cam, he's, since the day I got here, he's been tough as nails, never complains, tough as nails, and I think that's somebody that you can look to on your team to look up to. You know, you look at Thomas and guys that have battled through all kinds of different things. Cam's no different. He works his butt off, he fights, he competes, and he's tough as nails. So whatever he's got going on, I know he's going to do his best to be out there, and guys take a lot of pride, and I think that's kind of your first-hand view of it.
Well, certainly he's shown toughness, but for Cam, he even admits he's got to be better than he's been.
I gotta be better. I gotta be better. And that's what's so frustrating. When you want it so bad and you push, you put so much on your plate, and you know it doesn't come down to you, but at the end of the day, you just gotta uphold your end of the bargain. And when certain things don't happen, you know, that's when frustration comes.
A lot of the drama going into the game was the disrespect that Newton felt. Again, sent the bottle of wine and the broom from Cam Jordan, the New Orleans Saints. Here's Jordan. Talking about how he's going to celebrate after last night's win.
We still got 2 weeks left. We still got our mission. We still got our goals in sight. So I'm going to enjoy this 24 hours. I'm going to drink some red wine of maybe my last name's variety on the plane, and I'm going to call it done. You know, I'm going to focus on what we have coming up. We've got Big Ben. We've got Juju. And we've got AB, the running back, James Conner. Is he playing? Okay, cool. So I was trying to get some intel.
There you go. He's great. Cam Jordan's great. As the Saints right now are in the driver's position to have a home field advantage throughout the course of the NFC playoffs, and the Carolina Panthers now are not officially eliminated yet, but pretty close to it, as they've now lost six in a row. And Newton, during those six-game losing streak, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, as he is clearly struggling throwing the football.
Number two.
Report, 5-star freshman quarterback Justin Fields leaving Georgia.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I'm surprised that he didn't do it sooner. And I get that maybe he loves Georgia football. He wants to remain committed to the program. Bogus, when there's no opportunity to play, why are you going to hang around? I mean, how long are you going to hang around for? Even if you love the campus, even if you love being a Georgia Bulldog, you went to that program to start, to play. You got beaten out for the starting quarterback job a couple summers ago. You've served as the backup here. You've gotten some burn at times when Fromm has gotten a little banged up or knocked out in, you know, a series here or there. But for the most part, that is Jake Fromm's program. That is his team. And he's coming back for another year. So
Right. What
are you going to do if you're Fields? You got to go. You got to go someplace to play.
And the problem is, on the surface, that he's been in 12 games this year. So he doesn't have the 4-game cushion where he can transfer freely. He's going to try and petition for a waiver, apparently, and play next year. And SI.com says, if you remember, and I forgot about this originally, that there was that incident where there was a Georgia baseball player in the stands yelling, racial stuff towards Fields on the field, and I got caught on video, and they could use that as the impetus to, I can't be at Georgia anymore, and get a waiver to play next year.
Hopefully he does get that waiver.
Yeah.
I hopefully he does. And it would be great, and hopefully he gets an opportunity to play where he wants to play. But are you surprised at all by this decision?
No, I mean, if he was going to leave, this is when it would be, right? I mean, you come in, you're a true freshman, you bet on yourself, maybe I can be better than Jake Fromm, or maybe Jake Fromm, you know, you're not wishing him ill will, but maybe Jake Fromm gets hurt, I go in, I play really well, and they just stick with me. Somehow I win this job. You go through the whole year, none of that happens. You don't win the job. Fromm was very good at times for most of the year. He's clearly has to come back next year. So now I check out, you know, my situation. If I can play right away next year, and apparently Ohio State wants him badly. He's got a good relationship with what's his name?
Ryan Day,
who's replacing, almost called him Lane Kiffin.
Urban Meyer.
You know, you can go and play there immediately. It makes all the sense in the world to get away from Jake Fromm in Georgia.
Yeah, and I think he deserves it. He's good enough to play and play Division I football and play big-time Division I football. I think for any young athlete, that's what you sign up for. You want to go to the program that you love, and clearly he loves being a Georgia Bulldog, but when the writing's on the wall that you're not going to go play, get playing time, what are you doing? And, you know, he has aspirations and dreams of maybe playing at the next level after his college career comes to an end. And if that's the case, you've got to play a lot more than he's playing right now. So
yeah,
it's really not all that surprising. You can see a guy hanging around for a year, maybe 2 years, but when the door is completely closed for you getting great playing time and being the guy to a specific program, you've got to find a program where you will be the guy.
Number three.
Nick Saban says that Tua Tagovailoa is, quote, ahead of schedule on ankle recovery.
Hope so. I get that the Alabama Crimson Tide can win without him, as we saw in the SEC championship game. I get all that. But Tua, we discussed it at the time. I thought he was the best player in college football this year. I thought he should have won the Heisman Trophy. He did not. They're a significantly different offense with him at quarterback. And hopefully he is set and ready to go in that national semifinal against Oklahoma.
Well, I got on one hand, I assume this is true, and that's good news for him and for them and for, you know, for us who want to watch this game. But Nick Saban almost can't say anything else, right?
Well, that's true.
I mean, he can't, like, well, he actually, you know what he's saying? A little behind schedule, if I'm being honest here. I'm a little nervous about next Saturday. All of us, you know, we thought we had plenty of time, and now all of a sudden it's December 17th, and this game is 12 days away. So, I mean, you take everything with a grain of salt.
It is a quick recovery time to have ankle surgery and to get back as quickly. That is a very, very quick turnaround.
We know that I don't pay attention to things, that I'm not that smart. Did we know that he had surgery until before yesterday?
Yeah, we did. They said it when he was here for the Heisman.
Oh, okay.
When I say here, New York City, where we're doing.
As a Heisman voter, you should know that.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're on top of things.
Thank you.
Because I read that yesterday. I'm like, I don't remember reporting in an update that he had ankle surgery, but maybe that's why I missed it, because it was like a, you know, late in the week.
No,
anyway.
It was. He was in the walking boot,
yeah,
and then it kind of got buried.
It did.
Yeah, it was, not a huge headline. You didn't. It's not. It was not a huge talking point, but it was. It was announced that he did have surgery.
So I'll go with me being partly incompetent, not completely incompetent.
Correct.
Either way, you know, I think the more important news yesterday, at least from my vantage point, is that he's been on the field doing things during practice.
Which is a positive.
If he wasn't, I think you could lean more towards them playing coy. But him being out there doing stuff, not everything, but good enough to be out there and not be fearful of him twisting that ankle or somebody falling into it, I think that's the best news of yesterday.
It is. That is good news. But to the point I made before, don't you think it's a... I mean, it is an awfully quick turnaround to have surgery to get back on the field, right?
More just in terms of the high ankle sprain. I mean, that's a really lingering, nasty injury that is kind of hard to predict. So, I mean, again, on one hand, a lot of time has passed. On the other, we still have 12 days to go, and a lot can happen in these 12 days. There's a big jump from, you know, going through calisthenics and practice to being chased by Oklahoma's defense. As bad as that defense may be, there are still some big, fast dudes coming at you that you need to get away from.
And Jalen Hurts is great. and what he did stepping in. The Alabama Crimson Tide have won a lot of games with him, and stepping into that SEC title game and helping pull out that victory against Georgia made you feel really good about everything that he's been through, and even brought Saban to tears after the game, how emotional he was. That game would lose a lot of juice if it's Jalen Hurts up against Kyler Murray in Alabama and Oklahoma as compared to Tua and Alabama taking on Oklahoma.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, with all due respect to Jalen, you want best on best, and Tua is just better.
Yeah, he's just a better quarterback. Simply put, flat put, but we'll see. And the reports out of Alabama, but to play the point that Bogus has mentioned, he's back on the field, but it's not like Nick Saban's going to tell you he's behind schedule. But if you feel good, you're a Tide fan, you wake up on this Tuesday morning hopeful that come December 29th, Tua will be behind center wearing the crimson and white and representing the Alabama Crimson Tide as they get set to take on the Sooners of Oklahoma.
Next!
855-212.
No, late. No. Sorry, Moose.
A little early. That's a little early for that. We'll get to that next. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The undercard comes your way next. Ian Eagle a little later on this hour as well. It's Taz, Moose, Bogus is in the house. CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Coast to coast, pillar to post. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, with only 2 weeks left in the regular season, it's all about the playoff picture. The Texans march northeast from Houston to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. And then Pittsburgh heads to the Big Easy when the Steelers battle the Saints for the complete playoff picture. Kick off your day with the NFL today, Sunday at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. We'll get to the undercard momentarily. Bogus, third and final update this morning. Take it away, Andrew.
And this one, Moose, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The Saints didn't lead on Monday Night Football until the fourth quarter. And even then, Drew Brees was picked off on the ensuing two-point conversion. Dante Jackson ran it back nearly 100 yards for 2 points for Carolina. So instead of 14-7, the Saint lead was just 12-9. But Brees and company able to survive.
A win is a win. And the way that we fought in the fourth quarter, the way we put together two really good drives during the fourth quarter to go down and get a touchdown and, get to the two-yard line. And then defensively, they came up with some great stops as well.
And now they've all but clinched home field in the NFC with the 12-9 final in Charlotte. Brees just 203 yards through the air. Alvin Kamara scored the Saints' lone touchdown on the ground. The defense held those Panthers to 247 yards, just 13 first downs, while causing two turnovers and sacking Cam Newton four times. His team has dropped six in a row and now basically has no chance of making the postseason. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Eagles will start Nick Foles again at QB Sunday against Houston, and Dolphins running back Frank Gore reportedly done for the season with a sprained foot. As we were just discussing, Tua Tagovailoa ahead of schedule in his recovery from surgery to correct the high ankle sprain he suffered in the SEC title game. Tua has taken part in portions of all four Tide practices so far for their semifinal with Oklahoma in two Saturdays. And former top recruit, QB Justin Fields, has reportedly told Georgia he will transfer after the season. One report says Ohio State would be the favorite to land Fields. He wants to get a waiver to play next season, even though he has appeared in 12 games this year. College Hoops, number 11, Florida State, somehow beat Southeast Missouri State 85-68. But number 18, Arizona State, took an 81-65 loss at Vanderbilt. From the pros, the Warriors took care of the Grizzlies 110-93. The Blazers snapping a six-game road skid 131-127 at the Clippers, despite a career-high 39 points from Mikey B. favorite Tobias Harris. James Harden, 47, has the Rockets down the Jazz, 102-97, and Milwaukee won in Detroit, 107-104, 32 points from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Free agent outfielder Michael Brantley reportedly closed to a two-year deal with the Astros. It's reportedly $32 million. And Manchester United fired manager Jose Mourinho this morning. in the middle of his third season. Moose?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We got Eye and Eagle coming your way a little bit later on this hour. We'll talk a little NFL, a little NBA with Eye and look forward to that conversation. Let's get to it, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mikey, what do we got?
If the Browns don't win another game this season, would you consider their season still a success?
I would. Because I think you've established your team. Defensively, there's playmakers. You know what? You've got Landry and Chubb at the skill positions. Mayfield has gained experience. You've seen the positives and negatives here with Baker. His completion percentage past 15, 20 yards has been very, very good. And the arm talent, I've been really impressed with some of his downfield throws. I didn't think he necessarily had that kind of arm, what he showed you at Oklahoma, even though his completion percentage over 15 yards was highest among all the big-time prospects going into the NFL draft last April. Yeah, I would look at this year being a success, even though I might have to find a head coach, depending on what I decide to do with Greg Williams. He's shown himself that he needs to be in the conversation. I don't know, based on his history, if Greg Williams actually gets that opportunity, but I will say that he has stabilized that franchise when they needed some stabilization, and he has made them a better product and a better team, a more competitive team. I think for the experience of the young players, I think this year would be a success.
You know, here's the thing that I can't separate. I don't think any of us really can as outsiders. Like, how much of this is no Hugh Jackson and no Todd Haley, or is it Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens in? Now, Kitchens and Mayfield seem to have a really good connection, but I saw some numbers yesterday about how good the Browns have been post-Haley running their offense and how good the Steelers were once Todd Haley stopped running their offense as well a couple of years ago. So I don't, you know, like the chicken before the egg. Is it 60-40? Is it 50-50? Is it 80-20 in Williams' favor? It's hard to know just how much credit they deserve for all of this. The bottom line is, though, no matter how you slice it, the only answer to Mikey B's question is it's an absolute success. I mean, they've won more games than most people expect them to do. They've decided, it's clear that Mayfield should have been the number one pick, and it's going to be a successful NFL quarterback, and they got rid of Hugh Jackson / Todd Haley. I don't know what could be better right now for the Browns.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And now they have to figure out exactly what they do long term at the coaching spot, and also continue to strengthen that team. And they are hopefully what they believe is at the start of their journey of what is going to be a really good run. And you love the mindset of Mayfield. When I saw an interview over the course of the weekend, I think leading into the game against the Broncos on Saturday night, and was asked about, you know, taking over the Browns franchise and how beleaguered and maligned they were. And he said, listen, I don't know what it's like to be a Browns fan. You know, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to pretend that I do. But I came here to do what I've done at every level as a football player, and that is win. And to a Browns fan, that's music to the ears, because they bought into Johnny Manziel, and that was all fluff. That was nonsense. They brought in a quarterback that a lot of people wanted to compare to Johnny Manziel, and that was complete utter nonsense. What Baker Mayfield wants to do is he doesn't want to be a star. He wants to be a great quarterback, and he wants to be an instrument of change in Cleveland. And I think that's exactly what he's going to prove to be.
And it's not just him. Chubb seems to be a keeper.
Agreed.
We know Garrett is. Denzel Ward is as well. So the building blocks are there for this team to have extended success.
It really is. Next.
Ooh. Oh.
In 2017, the top three fast food chains, number one McDonald's, number two Starbucks, number three Subway. But in 2018, a new hotshot in town moving to number three, up 15% in sales. Any guesses which fast food chain that might be?
Wait, tell me again.
One McDonald's, two Starbucks. It used to be Subway at number three, but there's a high riser that's moved into the top spot.
Sonic.
No.
Chick-fil-A.
Correct.
Chick-fil-A. There you go. Nice
so
job.
So good at this.
Now what the top three is McDonald's, Starbucks, and Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A. Sales are booming.
Sales are booming. Delicious chicken sandwich. I have yet to use that gift card we got.
Same.
Bogus, did you use yours?
I didn't get one. Thanks for asking.
I thought maybe you got one. Bilotti got one, right?
I didn't use mine last year. I got one last year. Pete did, and we flip-flopped this year. There's only four, and there's five of us.
Yeah, I like a good McDonald's. Starbucks, see, I don't look at Starbucks as fast food. Now, I understand it qualifies. It's a coffee joint, and it makes a good coffee, good latte. And I could get a sandwich. But if I'm going to put... Would you put Starbucks in the same category as McDonald's and Chick-fil-A?
I mean, for breakfast, I think Starbucks is a legitimate choice in comparison to McDonald's, although nothing beats a McGriddle. That's whoever thought to put meat and cheese and an egg between two pancakes is, I mean, Einstein-level genius.
That is very good. You're right about that.
So I'll give you Starbucks breakfast. Muffin, scone, if you will, or they've got a variety of breakfast sandwiches, egg sandwiches.
But wouldn't you put Starbucks with Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, I'm sure Dunkin's on that list, too.
Yeah, but do you think Dunkin' Donuts is with... When I think about fast food, I think about the fryer, flat top, griddle.
Yeah.
Making stuff fresh, burgers, stuff like that. I'm not... Subway's fast food, even though it doesn't have any of those... it has none of those. It does not have a frying machine. Does not have a griddle.
But it has a magic microwave, though.
Well, it does have a microwave, right? Now, does have an oven,
right,
to toast the bread.
To your point, like if this question, the right answer to this question was Starbucks, I would have never guessed Starbucks because I wouldn't have thought that they were fast food.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But
there they are, number two.
There they are, number two. McDonald's still the king. There you go. Like LeBron James, the Golden Arches. Next.
The Steelers right now sit as the 4 seed and would host either, if the playoffs went today, would either host the Chargers or the Chiefs, depending on who doesn't win that division. The Steelers lost to the Chiefs week 2, Chargers week 13. If you're the Steelers, which team would you prefer to see?
I'd probably prefer to see Los Angeles than Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I don't know. I got spooked by the Chiefs, and I got positively spooked by the Chargers on Thursday night. The Chargers might be the most complete team in the AFC. I don't think I want any part of them right now, especially if they're getting healthier. Melvin Gordon could be back this weekend, and Hunter Henry magically appearing at practice yesterday.
Tell Stephen A.
By the time we get to week 1 of the postseason, maybe he's back out there.
Maybe he is, making catches left and right.
How about that?
Any sign of Derek Johnson?
Stephen A. was seeing the future. See, that's why we didn't get it. It was above our head.
Stop.
He was projecting.
Stop. And insult to injury, like defending himself. I mean, come on. You made a mistake. I mean, that's...
Listen.
What stat person? Who's working background for you? Who's giving that information?
Well, not to beat a dead horse, but it wasn't like a mistake. He had 3 points about that game, and they were all wrong.
The Brewski face, though, when he was going on this rant, is like the best face ever. He's like, what are you talking about?
Derek Johnson.
He's like, it's just fantastic. It is the video of just Teddy Brewski's zoomed-in face. Is the best video ever. I could just watch it over and over again.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I have colleagues and friends that have worked around Stephen A. Smith and his different jobs, and the stories I heard going back years, like, this fits in line with that. Stephen A. is a basketball savant. You throw a baseball question at him or a football question, and it gets dicey because that's not his area of expertise.
It's not, but you got to know. I mean. Names he was throwing out.
Right,
there.
No, I'm not excusing it, but it's in line with...
Are you even watching the games?
Right. I mean, I thought for a second a couple weeks ago with you that I forgot that Melvin Gordon was hurt, but I remember before it was done with the sentence. Like, there are mistakes, and then there are mistakes.
Well, but you watch the games. If you miss the news that Melvin Gordon tweaked his knee, so be it. It's one issue. Now, it's not great.
No, but we're creating the matchup to watch.
But I'm not
a guy that's in jail and a guy that's got 20 ACL.
Right, I'm not hopping on the airwaves telling you I think Vincent Jackson presents a matchup nightmare for anybody as he's lined up for the Chargers.
Yeah, if you can't cover Keenan McCardell, Phillip Rivers is going to have a huge game.
You know who's really clutch? Nate Keating. I mean, come on. There are mistakes, and then there are mistakes where you're like, wait a second.
Yeah, I'm not a big Marty Schottenheimer fan in this situation. What he has season, always win the big game.
Right,
but
what season of football are you watching? Anyway, next.
Next free.
Oh, that's it. All right. Well, we got Ian Eagle coming your way next. We'll talk a little football, talk a little basketball with the great play-by-play voice. We'll do that next. Bogus is in the house. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. We now welcome aboard Ian Eagle. Great play-by-play voice. Westwood One, CBS, Nets, NBA, NFL, does it all. Ian, good morning. How are you, brother?
Hey, good morning. Moose.
How's everything, all right?
Yeah, man. Everything's cool. Everything's good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're talking, obviously, reacting to everything and that's happened so far through, you know, 15 weeks of the NFL. And, you know, we asked this question before. You think it's – I mean, we all like parity. We all like, you know, the NFL, you know, each and every week anyone can lose. But do you think sometimes, you know, the lack of great teams where, you know, you see New Orleans come back down to earth, the Rams, yep, even with their record, come back to earth. You think the lack of great teams, do you think that hurts the league?
I think we have to get used to it, to be perfectly honest. I think what the Patriots had, the model they had, is not going to be duplicated again. Even with a great quarterback, and there are plenty of them, young quarterbacks that are going to be very productive in this league. But the way the salary cap is set up, the way that we've seen things develop the last couple of years, if you're a really good team, odds are you're not going to be able to keep all your players, those players that do the dirty work that will get paid more to go somewhere else and raise their profile. And I just don't see this current climate producing the great team year after year after year. So let's take New Orleans as an example. Great quarterback in Drew Brees. He's had an incredible career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever do it. We saw New Orleans win a Super Bowl and then go through a bit of a rut, 7-9 season, 7-9 season, recoup some of the talent, build through the draft. And now at the end of Drew Brees' career, they've got a team that can compete. Not saying that they're world beaters, as we saw last night. They have come back down to earth. Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl last year with this incredible run. This year, dealing with injuries at their quarterback position, Nick Foles is back in. I think that's going to be the norm. I don't think it's a bad thing, by the way, but at this stage of the game, as we hit week 16 in the NFL, I don't think you can say definitively that somebody is a clear favorite in the NFC or the AFC right now.
I kind of want to say the Chargers, if I had to pick somebody, might be my number one in the AFC, because what they can do on both sides of the ball. Now, obviously, they might have to play an important road game in the postseason, but even that, we saw last week, they can win an Arrowhead. So I don't know. They've burned us before, but I'm kind of crushing on the Chargers right now.
Yeah, but you nailed it, Andrew. That's going to be the counterpoint for all the narratives going into the playoffs that, yes, the Chargers are really talented, and they are. I've had a bunch of their games this year. I had them early, and I was high on them before the season started. They play Kansas City in week one, and they get humbled. And the reaction from around the league is, the Chargers, it's just not going to come together for them again. It's an overreaction, as we know, after 1 week of the season. Bosa comes back defensively. They did a really good job without him in a lineup. And offensively, they're so much more multiple than they used to be because Melvin Gordon has turned himself into a great runner/receiver, Eckler, the perfect change of pace who can do so many things, and they've developed their talent very quickly. Love that Charger team. They got to get healthy, obviously. Think for Phillip Rivers, and there's this general feeling around the league that Rivers deserves a long playoff run, that he's done so much in his career. He's been so competitive. He's done it with some subpar teams and some no-name talent around him. That he's earned this right to go on at least one run and maybe take a shot at a Super Bowl.
And I think he does. I mean, honestly, I'd love to see. I'm rooting for him, Ian. And I love the message from, you know, Lynn after the latest victory, going for two at the end of that game against Kansas City Chiefs. You know, this is – we are not the same old Chargers. And I think that team believes that this is not the Chargers of old, where they've had great regular season teams, but they've kind of been fraudulent, where kind of had a glass jaw, and they failed and have had miserable failures in the postseason, those Marty Schottenheimer teams. And – Nate Keating missing field goals. I think this is a different Charger team. I think they can get themselves to a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And chemistry, which is such a big part of it. Let's take Philadelphia from last year when they went on the unexpected run. I had them very late in the year on a radio game when Foles stepped in, and it looked broken. I at least walked away from there. I remember driving home from Philly thinking to myself, wow, what a shame. They had everything going. Carson Wentz was having an MVP-type season. But the one part that you can never quite know for sure, because you're just not privy to it, is the chemistry aspect. I think the Chargers have great chemistry. And, look, we find out about teams in adversity. We're going to find out about the Rams right now. Things have been disjointed. Do they have enough to dig down deep and figure out what the problems are? And how do you handle the downtimes? Philadelphia handled it well, then went on the Super Bowl run. The Chargers, I think, similar to what we've seen in recent years with teams that just believe. And then when they win a championship, you look back on it and you say, yeah, that made a lot of sense. I remember that moment. It led to this moment. That's what the Chargers remind me of right now. They've had a few of those moments this year where you can look back and say, yeah, we should have known that they had championship medal.
Ian, one of the things that makes you and so beloved in this by fans and us in the industry is your sense of humor. Is there a tasteful Philip Rivers 9, 10, 11 kid joke that you can get into a broadcast, or is that all off limits?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He's very prolific.
Yes.
At every possible level, this guy is prodigious. He is one of those players that I can tell you sincerely, when he walks into the production meeting, he changes the dynamic. He is so into it and competitive. And there are times, we've met with him so many times through the years, there are times where he walks in the room and he's like, ooh, wait, Phillip's tired or Phillip's sick of doing these. And by the third question, he is going on and on. He's talking a mile a minute. He's looking around the room. He's gesticulating. He's just that kind of guy. And I can see why players love being around him. Now, the downside of it is he's so competitive. When things aren't going well, you don't know how that manifests itself. But he's so likable. He doesn't curse, by the way, too. That's a very definitive life decision by him. So amidst all of this talking, he talks a lot. You talk to defensive players around the league.
Oh, he talks.
Tell you, Philip Rivers, but he will not curse. You cannot get him to curse.
Huh.
And it's an interesting dichotomy because of just how into it he is. You would think it would slip out at some point. It doesn't.
You mentioned Nick Foles last year. I was stunned by the Eagles' performance on Sunday night in Los Angeles with Foles in at quarterback in place of the injured Carson Wentz. We saw the great run a year ago. Can you explain, you know, Foles stepping in and the way that that team played and now getting themselves back into this playoff chase in the NFC?
Yeah, I was going through my charts yesterday, and I had Philly earlier in the year, so I just went to update everything that's gone on with them. And I find myself crossing out a lot of names, meaning they've had a boatload of injuries everywhere. In the secondary, they're ravaged by injuries. Defensive line, they've taken some hits. At the running back position, clearly taken some hits. Yet, I think this team has a belief in Nick Foles that they can win games. Sometimes there's just something that you can't quite comprehend with the dynamic of a team. And look, Carson Wentz is a fantastic quarterback. There are going to be questions whether or not he can stay healthy and truly remain on the field, or at least do it in the way that he currently plays. Andrew Luck learned the hard way. He missed an entire season based on the hits that he was taking. Of course, it was the shoulder problems, but he just put himself out there every game trying to make the extra play, make the extra yard. And at some point, I think he was smart enough. He's one of the smartest quarterbacks you'll ever sit down with. He was smart enough to realize, I got to change. I've got to alter the way that I play. And Wentz may have to go through a similar metamorphosis in understanding how he has to run his team and how he has to protect himself. Nick Foles is not only playing for the Eagles, he's playing for a contract. He's playing for a starting role somewhere else. Where could that be? Who will be looking at quarterbacks? Washington, Jacksonville. There will be teams in the market. Nick Foles' resume should allow him to have conversation with those kinds of teams. And I think he's looking to cash in. This is a big two-game stretch for Nick Foles to remind the rest of the league that he's still around and he can still win football games.
What about the other team you got this weekend in the Texans? Was it 10 of 11 wins now? The defense and J.J. Watt, relentless. But then offensively, as talented as Deshaun Watson is, they can't protect him, and there's so many issues. Where do you put them in your AFC hierarchy?
Yeah, it's hard to quantify with them. You look at the numbers and you say to yourself, this is one hell of a coaching job that Bill O'Brien has pulled off. They were 0-3. They were on the precipice of going to 0-4 with that Indianapolis game where Frank Reich went for it on fourth down in overtime. Didn't get it. Texans get a gift. And then they didn't lose. Again, they won 9 in a row. Now, you look at their current setup personnel-wise. They had to go out and get Demaryius Thomas. He's not the guy he once was, but still can be a productive receiver that you have to account for. DeAndre Hopkins is all world right now. I would say number one in the NFL. And I know that's a rotating list of wide receivers, but to me, he's the number one wide receiver in the league. Him and Watson have incredible chemistry. They miss Fuller. They've missed QT. Miller got banged up. It doesn't make sense when you look at them offensively that they've been able to score enough points. But Watson is such a dynamic talent. And their defense is intimidating, it's fierce, and it's the reason why this team would make any serious noise come playoffs, because you're just not going to find better pass rushers, 1-2 punches, than the Texans have. And watch back. Just watch him. He's back. He's the guy that he was prior to all of these injuries. You have to deal with him, and offensive coordinators have nightmares trying to prepare for him.
Now, I and Kim Jones would often tell me that the pretzels down in Philadelphia are just off the charts if you're there for an Eagles game. Of all the stadiums that you've been to and arenas you have been to, best pregame meal or food for a broadcaster?
Well, I mean, let's keep in mind that I'm not the most ambitious eater.
No condiments. Yes.
Yeah, no condiments. My diet is that of an 11-year-old sixth grader. So what you may consider fine dining and what I may consider fine dining might be completely different perceptions. Philadelphia is actually pretty good. The NFL, if I had to pick one, the best pregame spread, I would say Green Bay is up there. Yeah, they have multiple options. They throw a little curveball your way occasionally with something that you wouldn't expect. But Green Bay is solid. Nice presentation, large seating area. That's also a big part of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing, oh, the food's great, but I have nowhere to go with it. I need the combo. I need space. I don't want, unfortunately, look, I'm a good guy,
yeah.
But I don't want the European seating. I don't need the family style.
I
need my own little area.
Keep away from me.
the truth is this, truly, when I started this business 25 years ago traveling.
We got 10 seconds.
All right, I was a people person.
Not anymore.
And then I met them.
We love you. Have a good day. Thanks for the time. We're done. Taz Booth, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.